薄いのアホ。
プリズムタワーメイクアップカードレ
ディー。 Welcome to Shoujo and Tell, where we discuss shoujo manga and tell who's hot and who's not, talk about themes, and just generally geek out.Today, November 25th, 2018, we'll be shoujo and telling about Kimi ni Todoke, volumes 11 through 20, by Kuroho Shina. I'm your host, Ashley McDonald, and I'm joined by Caitlin Moore.
Hello.
All right, so we're just going to assume that you listened to part one of this, because I don't know why you would listen to the middle third of the podcast without listening to part one. I could understand listening to part one and three, actually, skipping this middle bit, but whatever.
Just like with the manga.
Yeah, right? This, like, definitely five volumes of this probably didn't really need to happen, but, like, we'll get there. So I'm going to give you the immediate spoiler warning. This is about, you know, some deeper volumes of Kimi ni Todoke. The anime definitely did not cover these volumes, so if you only watch the anime, would not advise listening to this. And if you're behind on Kimi ni Todoke, like, maybe you should go catch up. Although it is 30 volumes, so maybe you're like, you're only 10 volumes behind. I don't know. I don't live your life. Maybe you want to see what happens if you've only watched the anime, see if it's interesting enough to read the manga. I don't control you. But yeah, Kimi ni Todoke, if you want to go read it, is available from Viz Media in North America. And there is an anime. It has two seasons. I believe it is available on Crunchyroll, so you can go watch that. It's good stuff. I really liked it. And then just to jog anybody who has read Kimi ni Todoke, you want to remember sort of roughly what happens in these volumes. I'll give a brief breakdown of what happens. So this is, we ended last podcast, Kazehaya and Sawako have officially become a couple. That's like literally the end. So the beginning of this is they get to go on their first date and meet each other's parents. Ooh, fun. Then
so grown up.
It's like it escalates real quick. That's all I'm saying. It's just such escalation. Then they go on a class trip to Okinawa, which, okay, real talk, Caitlin, that's a pretty serious trip, right? Like they're
no, it's very common.
Really? Even from Hokkaido?
Yeah. Yeah, I also took a class trip to Okinawa when I was doing study abroad in college, there was definitely a class full of high school students that like shrieked when the plane took off and when it landed.
I am very baffled by
it. It was very cute. They all went very stereotypically, yeah!
Oh, man. Manga is real life. Okay. Japan baffles me sometimes. I'm like, they just fly all these people? Like,
it's
all
cheap
the way
to fly domestically in Japan.
Okay.
It's really inexpensive.
Fair enough. These kids, they're living a great life. That's all I'm saying. So they get to go for 5 days and 4 nights to Okinawa. And I really think that this class trip is what messes everything up. Screw you, class trip. That's really my lasting feelings about that. Then it's like the awful like three volumes where Kazehaya has things bothering him. And you're like, shut up, Kazehaya, get over it. And like Ayane and Chizu are grappling with feelings for Kento and Ryu, respectively. And then these volumes that we read end with the second go-around of Christmas and second Valentine's Day. They are still so full of drama. They might have overcorrected their mistakes from the first time around. that's basically what's happened. Yeah, so now we will talk more about just, like, there's a lot of characters. This is a very character drama-filled manga, so we'll just check in with them, and we'll start with our boy Kazehaya, Caitlin, you have feelings.
He's just the worst in these volumes.
That's a real shame, because otherwise he's normally pretty good.
He's really good normally. Okay, so my guess is that like they were like Shina was super good at the lead up, and then once they actually got together, she was like, oh, what now? Well, can't have them be happy together. That's
too easy.
That's not interesting.
Yeah.
So instead, Kazehaya is just going to be a butt. Just a real butthole. Listen, I can't curse.
I know. You have to be more, like, think of creative slangs for him.
But yeah, he is. Still don't totally understand what the issue was.
Right? Okay, thank you.
Like, basically ones that they almost kiss in Okinawa, but they get caught, and then all of a sudden he starts acting super distant.
Yeah.
And, like, poor Sawako is just sad and confused, and she thinks that he's breaking up with her because he's not, like, spending time with her. He's not, like, trying to, like, touch her or hold hands with her. And it lasts for a while. It lasts for a couple of months in the timeline of the series.
Yeah, I guess Peen confronts him and is like, you've been dating for 6 months. Like, they have that joking thing at the, Christmas party. And Peen's like, oh, you haven't touched her for 6 months. Like, congrats. Like, using, like, reverse psychology on him. So assuming that all the good things did happen within the first month or two, it's like, yeah, it was several months that he's just we're not holding hands.
Like, I'm sorry, teen relationships, they would have ended. I mean, any relationship, any, like, new relationship, that stuff should have ended months before it did. Like, Sawako should have kicked Kazuhaya's ass to the curb because...
he's making her miserable.
He's making her, like, the relationship is making her miserable. And then, like, the whole talk that he gave her when they made up. And she does eventually confront him, which is good.
Yeah.
Because Christmas is, like, supposed to be a romantic holiday in Japan. And he just spent the whole time planning that party as opposed to, like, last time when she couldn't make it to the party. But, you know, there was that very sweet romantic moment afterwards where he gives her the cell phone charm. And it was very cute and sweet. But... instead, he just ignores her the whole time, and eventually, like, she has to chase him down and, like, yell at him, which is so unlike her. But she just gets pushed to that point.
It's like, so I also don't really understand what his problem was. Like, listening to him talk afterwards about how, like, I think that their talk about how he's the only one who can hurt her and stuff because they're so close and everything. It's like that.
Dude. That conversation raised so many red flags.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my God. If a guy said all that to me, I would be like, you need to leave.
Just right now.
Like, I need to never talk to you again. Like, I've never had a boyfriend say stuff like that to me, but I've had guy friends say stuff like that to me. And I've literally said, I don't want to talk to you ever again.
Whoa. Escalation.
No, just it's so creepy, like, how he's talking about how he's, like, he doesn't trust himself around her, and he, like, wants her all for himself, and she's, like, he's jealous that she has other people that she's close to. Like, that's creepy. That's possessive. Oh, yeah. Like, that's not okay. Like, if I had a boyfriend who said stuff like that to me, like, I'm jealous of you spending time with your friends, like, I'd be like, no. Like, you need to respect that I am a person and that I am not just, like, someone for you. And, like, I'm afraid of what I might do to you. That, like, sort of, like, it's like, so either you're saying that you're afraid that, like, you might want to, like, have sex, and then that's saying that, like, oh, she must not want to have sex. Or you're saying that you are holding yourself back from sexually assaulting her.
Yeah, and I guess it's just so weird when Kazuhaya says it, because he is such, like, a nice boy, and it just seems so out of character for him, and you're just like, what is your deal, bro? Like, I guess he did say all the way back in volume one, he's like, I'm just a normal horny high school boy, and I'm like, yeah, but did we have to go here with that? Like, why?
Yeah.
So it's baffling.
No, like, and so, like, all of the lead up to that conversation just, like, made me really unhappy, and it kind of soured me on the series for a while.
Yeah, I would have to agree, definitely, because I think that this is the point. I think I looked at volume 20, and it was published in America on December 2014 or something. So at this point, I've definitely like caught up to reading it, you know, as it comes out. And I definitely remember reaching this point in the manga and being like, this is awful to read just like one volume with gaps in between each month or like for several months and whatever. I'm like, because I really hate where this is right now. And like, I don't even know what Kazuhaya's problem is. And like,
yeah, it wasn't nice to read. Like the whole thing with Kimi ni Todoke before was it was nice. It was so satisfying watching these like two nice kids sort of get closer and seeing Sawako open up and get to know Kazuhaya and Kazuhaya supporting her. So like, it's just, I don't know. I didn't enjoy reading it.
Yeah, this is the definite low point of the series. This like, this Kazuhaya bit is the worst of the series. And yeah, I don't know. It's just like, it just doesn't make any sense because they were about to kiss and they both clearly wanted it. And then he's like, oh, you know, JK, I can't control myself around you. And I'm like, I think that you can, though. Kazuhaya, like, you're not that like, type right, of boy.
Kazuhaya, it's just sort of buying into the belief that all boys are potential rapists who can't control their hormones. It's like, no, like, teach dudes to control themselves. Don't act like, you know, asking them to control themselves is, like, such an unreasonable thing to ask. That they'll go wild the moment their lips touch someone else's.
And then, as far as I remember, this is, like, not an issue again. Like, from here, they're, like, fine. And they're always...
Yeah.
It never, like, goes to a place that Sawako doesn't want it to go. So it's fine, right? Like,
right.
And I'm like, what was this little strange period in Kazuhaya's life? Where he didn't act like a teenager, but also, like... did? I don't know. It's just so weird.
I feel like that is also the period in the manga. Like, this is such a weird thing to complain about, where all the dialogue got broken up into these little tiny speech bubbles. So, like, everything was like dot, dot, dot.
Like, yeah, so much dot, dot, dot,
dot, dot, dot. Yeah. And it made everything read, like, really haltingly. Like, I can't help but feel like everything was being read by William Shatner.
No, I agree. And, like, I think that was my lasting impression of how Kimi ni Todoke's dialogue went when I was, like, planning it. I was like, yeah, there's only ever, like, three words in a speech bubble.
it was all just really rough going for a while. Just everything about it, including, oh, hey, segue opportunity, Chizu and Ryu.
Oh, yeah. Those two, they're not awkward at all. They're fine.
Like, I didn't really care for how that was handled either, which was kind of going concurrently with the Kazuhaya Sawako thing.
Did it bother you that Chizu, like, didn't want it and then almost immediately does that?
Right. Well, there's that. There's the whole, like, oh, I never thought of him this way, but oh, now I am thinking of him this way.
Yeah.
Like, and they were child, like, it's so, like, obvious and boring, like, the childhood friends getting together. And just, like, I don't know, the way everyone talked about it, like, oh, she's like, I just wanted to, like, stay friends with him forever. Like, I just wanted to be as close as we are for our whole lives. And people are like, well, you can't have that if you're just going to be friends.
Yeah, that was pretty rude. I was like, excuse me, you can have best friends your whole life. That's not...
If you... Well, like, the implication is that, like... And this implication has come up in a couple of other places, too. Like, that guys and girls can't be close friends. Or it's like, oh, well, you can't stay friends with Ryu forever because eventually, like, unless you start dating, because eventually, like, you're going to have romantic partners and those romantic partners will not be chill with you being so close to... someone of another sex.
Yeah, I guess we get that implication with, like, even with Chizu and Ayane just as friends, like, their friendship basis is kind of like, oh, well, other girls, like, we don't fit in with other girls, but now we found the two of us together, so that's, like, an acceptable relationship to have. And Ayane looking down, like, confused by the Kento girls being like, how can Kento have all these girls who just don't want to date him, but just think he's a nice guy.
And eventually Kento is like, sorry, guys, I can't hang out with you now that I'm dating Ayane.
Yeah, like, suddenly we can't be friends anymore. So, like, bye. And I'm like, no, Kimi ni Totoke, don't do this.
Once again, if someone tried to tell me that I couldn't stay friend, like I couldn't have friends of another sex, like I would kick their ass to the curb so fast.
Yeah. I mean, it just seemed, it just seemed like such an escalation that didn't need to happen, because Kento could have just been like, hey, I can't hang out with you right now. It's a romantic holiday. So like, I'm gonna hang out with, you know, Ayane or whatever. It was New Year's by then, but it's still like, hey, I'm just gonna hang out with my girlfriend for this time. We can hang out later. Like, cool, see you. I'm like, that could have happened, Kento, but you didn't do that.
Yeah, no, it was, there was a lot of stuff that was happening in this stretch. It just felt like, well, we have Kazehaya and Sawako together. Now we have to pair everyone else up.
Yeah. Yeah, and Chizu and Ryu is like, I definitely also agree that I don't like the, oh, Chizu didn't look at him like that at all, but then he suddenly does it, so she's like, maybe? Like, cool.
Ryu is surprisingly smooth, though.
Right? I don't disagree with Ryu. Ryu, I like that he was like, you know, I've kept this inside me this whole time, and now I kind of need to let it go, like, one way or the other. It just needs to come out, and so I'm going to try for a second, and, like, you can determine how that goes, but...
Yeah.
Ryu buys her a nice pink rose and says that it reminds him of her, and I think that's the bit that I do kind of like about the relationship. Like, I like the overall sentiment that Kimi ni Totoke seems to have about, you know, other people kind of see through the stereotypes of you to, like, this core, like, real you. Which I'm not saying is, like, right or wrong, because I don't know. What's a real you? It's always changing with whoever you're with and things like that. But I was like, that's, like, kind of a cute sentiment, I guess.
Yeah. I thought it seemed kind of like a generic, like, girly gift. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, clearly he's trying to, because that's the whole point of Chizu. Even with Ayane, Ayane is like, you know, or Chizu's like, the other girls always treated me like a boy, like how they would treat a boy who is a friend, even though that's not allowed in the Kimi ni Totoke universe once you hit 17.
Yeah.
So... You know, and then, but Ayane is like, but Chizu is a girl, and, like, so we should, so Ayane, you know, treats her as a girl, and Ryu has the same reaction, where he's like, yeah, Chizu and I, you know, arm wrestle, and I always beat her at it, but she is a girl, and I like her like that.
Yeah.
And, but it's troublesome that it's like, you know, I guess Chizu has shown sometimes that she likes being a girl. She was all about wearing a miniskirt for, Toru.
Yeah, like she wants to be seen as more girly by certain people.
Yeah, so I was like, that's cute. But everything else about their relationship, I'm like, okay, you're gonna get together, childhood friends. I think the other thing that bothered me was that the backstory about Ryu's mom and with Chizu and everything, it's like, this should be, like, emotionally impactful, but it's just kind of not, because it seems so weird and random to me. I don't know if it felt that way for you at all, like, how their mom, or how Ryu's mom just, like, dies in a car crash trying to pick him up from school. I'm like, that should be way more traumatic than I feel that it was handled in this manga, but all right.
I feel like it was shown as pretty traumatic, like... Ryu had his own way of dealing with it, but, like, I mean, it was from, you know, Chizu's point of view. Like, she didn't see, like, there was still a lot of stuff that she didn't see. She didn't see, like, Ryu's sort of internal emotions as much as she could infer them. And, you know, we don't see that much of the aftermath. We just sort of see the point where that they can cry about, like, them reaching the point where they can cry about it. You know, you don't see the years of, like, coping with it afterwards. So I don't think it's, like, as sort of a major, like, showing sort of a snapshot. Mm-hmm. It makes sense.
Fair. I guess it just coupled with the feeling that it was like, oh, now I have to show everybody's parents, even though I really only care about Kazehaya and Sawako's parents. It's like, I'm just going to shove everybody else's parents in here, see how that works out.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh, okay.
Cool. Yeah, like, a lot of this stretch, it really felt like, well, now what?
Now what? Yeah. Maybe Ayane and Kento is pretty good, though.
Yeah, they're probably the strongest part of these volumes. I think, yeah, like, Ayane is sort of, like, dealing with feeling like she's not a nice girl. She doesn't deserve having a nice guy who, like, actually cares about her. She's made some, like, it seems like most of the guys she's dated in the past have been just absolute garbage.
Yeah, which is really tragic. I'm like, no,
I'm gonna give you a hug.
No, why are you like this, Ayane? You deserve all the hugs.
And it's sad because, like, I mean, because she has her reputation as being easy.
Yeah.
Which is why I believe Mogi saying, like, yeah, I really do like you, but also I really expected us to be able to do it. But he's like, yeah, I thought that, like, we would get to banging a lot faster than we have been. So
he's like, why did we not bang on day two? Like, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and before Mogi, she was with that college guy who hit her.
Yeah. Awful. Boo.
At least she was able to, like, kick him to the curb the moment. Like, it seems like she broke up with him, like, right when that happened. Like, no, we're not doing this.
Yeah. So that's good. But so we get the redemption of Kento, basically,
yeah,
in this arc as well.
Because he was really annoying in the last few volumes.
Yeah. So Kento gets to be, like, one of the strongest points of this arc, but he was definitely the weakest of the last arc. So, you know,
Kento. It's Kento. Complicated. It's complicated. Kento is full of contains multitudes.
He does. So in this arc, I'm still mildly confused that he was like, I genuinely liked Sawako. And I'm like, what? Where did you come from?
I think he did. Like, I believe that. He did seem like he, like, really did like her. Like, he was attracted to her. He just completely misread the situation.
Okay.
I do believe that.
Interesting. I'm just like, on the basis of what? Why? Who? Okay, Kento, you're confusing. But I like him. His kindness to Ayane is A++, and I do like that I like the acknowledgement that he's like, Ayane doesn't like me right now, but I'm just gonna keep being nice, and maybe she'll, like, win me over. Because I feel like that's how reasonable, like, Mogi comes and is like, hey, Ayane, can we date? And, you know, Chizu and Sawako have this view that they're like, but do you like Mogi? Like, you guys should like each other first. And I'm like, it's reasonable to date and, like, see if you like each other before figuring all the other things out. So that's fine. And so Mogi comes and does it terribly because he sucks.
Because he's a garbage man.
Yeah, because he's a garbage high school boy.
Yeah, no, his approach seemed like he didn't seem like a predator or, like, a bad person. Just sort of normal high school boy garbage.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, like, Too horny for his own good. thinking with his groin.
Yeah.
But has potential to grow up to be a decent person.
Yeah.
And maybe Kento knocked some sense into him.
Yeah, Kento punches him, so that's a highlight here. Kento punching Mogi, fighting over girls. Like, it was good. I liked it. He gave her a bouquet of roses because he's a special type of high school boy. Yeah, and just overall, like, knowing what happens with them is kind of sad, but I'm like, Kento's a good boy. He deserves
spoilers.
I know, spoilers, but it's so hard not to, because
yeah, because that is one of the parts where it kind of goes in a direct, it went in a direction I didn't expect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but you also see in these volumes how, like, well-seated the thing is. Yeah. And I'm like,
absolutely.
Oh, damn. Like, but yeah. So, poor Kento. Kento got to be the highlight of this this arc. And Ayane's struggles made me, like, genuinely, I was like, I'm so sad right now.
I know. She's so good and she doesn't even know it.
I know. It's such a tragedy. Even though everybody else is like, no, we love you and you are kind. And she's like, no. And I'm like, I relate to you, Ayane, on this level. Nothing else but this one thing.
Like... Yeah, like, she's... I like Ayane. I think she's easily the most complicated of the main, of sort of the main three.
Definitely.
Which I like about her. Like, she is, like, she is genuinely loving, but she's also a little manipulative. She's a little bit like, oh, I'm going to sit back and sort of see how this whole situation plays out.
Yeah.
This should be fun. Like, she has sort of the mean girl instincts, and she uses her powers for good.
Yeah, I think manipulation always gets a bad rap, but I'm like, no, manipulation can be used for good if you, like, do it right, you know? So Ayane is one of the few people who gives manipulation a good name. Thank you, Ayane. Fighting the good fight here. I actually also really love just, like, I know we both really relate to Chizu, so I also really love the moment where Chizu, like, when Ayane comes and says that she's dating Kento... And Chizu has the whole line about, like, don't worry, if when Kento, like, returns you, like, we'll still be here or whatever. And she calls Kento a schmuck. She's like, I don't know. I don't really know that much about Kento. He seems like a schmuck, but, like, I'm proud of you.
So, and I was
like,
good. Yes.
Chizu. So good.
Like, how many times do you see the word schmuck in manga?
Not enough. Like,
Kimi ni Todoke, I don't always agree with some of the translation decisions. I think, like, sometimes the translation gets a little bit clunky, a little bit too, like it's almost like a dialect of its own, like the Japanese translated into English. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the sort of the manga English. It's not, like, the scans use a more extreme version of it a lot of the time, but, like, a lot of professional manga translation and anime translation, you'll still see sort of some of that sort of clunkiness and unnatural phrasing that doesn't sound like natural English. And unless you're really, like, if you've been reading manga for a long time, you sort of stop noticing it unless you're really paying attention.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do pay attention. because I like language as in general, and I like seeing how different translation decisions are made. So yeah, so sometimes Kimi ni Todoke has kind of the more clunky translations, but schmuck was a great choice.
I know. Schmuck was, I was like, I can see Chizu saying the word schmuck, even though I'm sure that's, like, not at all what she said in Japanese, but, like, it's so good in English.
I don't think Japanese uses a lot of Yiddish.
Yeah, right? But it totally made sense.
I love Yiddish. Like, I grew up in a very, like, a pretty heavily Jewish neighborhood, and my mom, despite not being Jewish, used a lot of, like, Yiddish words. So, like, it's really fun seeing that in a manga.
I know. And again, I thought it read, like, perfectly fine. It was like, yeah, Chizu makes sense. She would totally say schmuck. She knew Yiddish words. So good. Anyway, what other Chizu moments did I really relate to? I really loved, I guess it was a similar thing with Sawako when Chizu is like, you guys went on a date. You went on a date with Kazehaya. You were my Sawako. No, you weren't. But, like, and she's like crying. And I'm like, yes, this is exactly how I respond to my friends. Like, mildly possessive, but also happy and just like crying in a corner. Being like, I don't know what these complicated feelings are inside of me. I guess I also really related to Chizu's anger initially at Ryu confessing his feelings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that has been my immediate response to when people tell me they like me, has generally been like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, right.
What?
Just immediate anger. Why would you say that? This is why Chizu's great.
She's so good.
So good. She knows all how to do all the things.
Like, yeah, her anger and her complete confusion about, like, what is going on.
Oh yeah, I really loved also when she asked, like, what month is it in Okinawa in November in Hokkaido? And I was like, that is such a great way to be confused about seasons. Kasalako's like, it's November everywhere. Ariane is like, it's November everywhere. What are you talking about?
different climate. Different climates.
Yeah. Different season. Same month. Same months.
Like Hokkaido's very far north and Okinawa is it's like subtropical, very different places.
Yeah. But it was just a delightful way for her to be confused. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is amazing. And yeah. I do feel that much of the way that she deals or has complicated feelings about femininity, I'm like, yeah, I relate. That's mm-hmm. cool. Yeah,
absolutely.
100%. That's where I'm like, I don't get Ayane at all. I'm like, Ayane is pretty and like puts makeup on. I don't understand that stuff.
Yeah, no, like Chizu sort of being confused by femininity is very relatable.
Soup's relatable.
Always wears jeans. You don't see a lot of anime and manga characters who wear pants on a regular basis.
Mm.
If you like think about it. I once like went on Twitter and was like, hey guys, how many female characters can you think of that wear pants? And a lot of people were like,
what's our pants?
Why is this so difficult?
Yeah, I guess that's true. Even in like when they do wear casual clothes, it's always like, we have to wear like short shorts and whatever. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Or dresses. Yeah, Sawako is definitely a dress and skirt person.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Ayane is as well.
Yeah.
Chizu!
Oh, she's so good.
So good. I like to think that I'm not as dumb as Chizu, but, like, I still relate.
Yeah.
To that.
Like, I'm kind of bummed out because she was like, yeah, I've always had a lot of friends who were guys. It's never been a big deal. Like, I'm kind of sad that that got taken away from her.
Yeah, Kimi like, Jodoke can't let you have that.
You know, after puberty, like, guys and girls can't be friends.
Yeah.
Like, shut up.
Shut
That's
up.
Garbage. That's garbage. Screw off.
I know.
A lot of my best friends have always been guys.
Same. Yeah, so it's really, it's so hard because it's like,
we're not like other girls, Ashley.
Oh, no. I don't want to say that. Can't say that. Oh, no. It's sad because the best part of Kimi Jodoke is the female friendships, but it's like, oh, but you did it at the sacrifice of the male friends. Like, they get to all mm-hmm. be friends with dudes, but only because they're paired up that way, right? Like, it's
right.
like, oh, it's acceptable to be friends for Sawako to be friends with Kento, but only by way of, like, him dating Ayane, basically.
Right, like, because before Kaze Hayo was like, I'm really jealous of you, like, talking to Kento. Like, I get mad when I see you talking to Kento. And I'm just like, F off!
See, I can... I'm like, okay, you need to learn that that's wrong. And I feel that they did. So I'm like, okay.
Okay, yeah, no. Like, I didn't date in high school. I didn't, like, have a boyfriend until college. So, like, I don't know. I guess I can't really relate to, like, that sort of the high school...
Immaturity. The high school, the pettiness of high school relationships.
Yeah.
I feel it. It's true. It's like it rings true to me. I'm like, yeah, you gotta learn that BS the hard way. You know, like, you need to be at least 18 years or older to know that you're wrong in high school. But yeah, I guess the only other characters to really talk about are actually the adults. I do have to say that Peen, anytime there is a chapter like solely dedicated to him in a way. It always ends up weird.
Yeah.
Like the New Year's one in particular. I was like, what is happening? Why is this happening? What's going on?
I think like since the series sort of went more into melodrama than like rom-com.
But he's like a holdover from rom-com-y.
Yeah. Well, it's hard for him to sort of be that comic relief.
Yeah.
And he does start stepping more into the role of mentor and teacher, but like it seems a little awkward about how like him coming in hollering while like Sabako and Kaze Haya are having this like very like serious conflict. And meanwhile, Peen is like, in Ryu's ramen restaurant yelling about something.
Yeah, something or other, like, whatever. Oh, about how he hates nurses, probably, or something, because they all snub their nose at him or whatever. They found better guys to be with on New Year's and stuff. Yeah, like, those chapters were like, what is this? But yeah, as we step, so it's basically, like, in the last two volumes that we've read here, it's starting to get in more into, like, what the final arc is with, like, debating their future. Will they go to college? Mm-hmm. Will they get a job? What are they going to do? So Pien has definitely, like, stepped up in those volumes being like, hey, y'all need to think seriously. We've been together for 2 years. Now we only got one more year left. Like, what's up? What you going to do? Like, aim higher.
I mean, I think, like, the whole conflict of Pien, like, not becoming a professional baseball player was interesting.
Yeah, because he had been inspired by a high school baseball mentor, and he was like, I want to be that instead.
That's nice. Like, because it's like, not to toot my own horn or anything, but I'm, how do I phrase this in a way that doesn't sound snobby? Like, so I'm a teacher. I'm a preschool teacher, toddler teacher, early childhood, however you want to phrase it. Like, I take care of 1-year-olds to 4-year-olds, and I don't get paid enough for it. And, you know, I have it's not a job that requires a bachelor's degree. It's a job that, like, it's a job that requires a certain kind of intelligence and a certain kind of knowledge base. But I am also the sort of smart where I could easily have gone into a field that paid much better, that had a lot more prestige. But I chose to become a teacher because, like, that's what made me happy. Mm-hmm. So, like, that was sort of very relatable for me with Pien, like, when he's talking about, like, no, I wanted to, like, work with high school baseball. Like, I wanted to be a teacher.
Yeah. Pien is a good dude like that.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
In the end.
He's loud and brash and an idiot, but he is, in the end, a good teacher. He says, and it seems like these poor kids need a mentor like that because, like, Kazuhaya's dad is awful.
Oh, yeah.
I hate, like, like, I'm sorry, punching your child is child abuse. Like, don't punch your child so hard in the face. Well, don't punch your child at all, ever. Yeah,
first of all, don't punch your child.
But especially not, like, in the hall of their high school. So hard that it knocks them down and leaves a bruise.
Yeah. I remember reading that the first time in the manga and just being like, whoa, what has happened here? Like, and it does not feel like there was enough, you know, like, Pien doesn't get mad at his dad or anything. There's no, nobody seems to get reasonably mad about this.
Right. Because, like, well, because it's like when, like, Pien thinks a girl has a crush on him, he's like, I'm not into children. So it's like, why aren't you defending Kazuhaya? Like, why are you punching a child? Yeah. You know?
Because Kazuhaya is boy.
Kazuhaya is boy and is son.
Yeah.
Like, so don't hit your children. Don't hit your children. Period. Ever.
Yeah, definitely this manga's way of trying to, like, redeem Kazuhaya's dad all the time. I'm kind of like, no, he just sucks. Like, let's...
Yeah, he's just not a very good dad. Like, let's be real. He is a jerk, and he picks fights on with Kazuhaya about nothing, and, like, never... like, true. No one... Like, Kazuhaya quit baseball because his dad was, like, way too intense about it, and he wasn't enjoying it. You know, like,
he's like, I wanted to choose to quit it before he made me resent baseball and then quit it. Basically, he's like, I wanted to choose that for myself, even though that wasn't a choice.
Awful.
Yeah.
Like, you're ruining the things that your child loves. So, yeah, no, like, Kazuhaya's dad sucks. Although I do want to say that, like, Kimi ni Todoke is a lot more realistic than a lot of shoujo manga about with how parents are involved in their children's lives.
That's true. No absentee parents here. They are very much around. And I actually really love that, too. Even just the scenes of them, like, you know, going over to Sawako's house for, you know, New Year's Eve or Christmas or whatever and having a party. I'm like, that was me and my friend.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Well, it's like, I actually got a text while I was talking to you about from a friend being like, hey, we're having a little Christmas friend get together. But like, or like the moment where like Sawako's like calls her dad and she's like, I just need to talk to him for like an hour. And her dad's like 45 minutes. Like that was very real. Cause I feel like you read a lot of manga, like a lot of series with teenage characters and you're like, where are their parents?
Yeah, no, totally. Like, they don't have parents. It's fine.
Reading, like, a lot of the more, like, dramatic, dangerous shoujo manga, like, what are your parents doing? Like, how are your parents letting this happen in your life? Why are your parents chill with you getting kidnapped by a demon?
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, Sawako's dad's, like, sort of... I like Sawako's dad. I think he's a very I don't like agree with him necessarily a lot of the time, but I think he is sort of a very like good balance between like protective and loving, without being smothering.
Yeah, he's trying.
He's sort of having a hard time with his daughter growing up, and he's jealous that like she's got another guy in her life because. I don't know why that's a thing. It's weird, but oh well. Dudes are weird.
Yeah, dudes are weird. That's basically what we've learned from this.
Dudes are weird. So he doesn't totally trust Kazehaya as a guy who is dating his daughter. But he also recognizes that like Sawako needs to be able to have her social life and be able to blossom.
Yeah. And that's why it's so nice when they go to parties at her house, because I'm like, that's a safe way for him to be like, see, where we can all, like, you know them now and all these things.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess my parents in particular always tried to be those, like, cool parents who were like, yeah, everybody can come hang out over here and then at least we know what you're doing. It's like,
yeah. You know, that was totally my mom.
Sawako's mom is also pretty good. She's like... what keeps the dad in check, basically.
Yeah. It's sort of a very classic, like, parent, ways of parents playing off of each other, where the dad wants to be protective and the mom wants to be like, let her child go out into the world and experiment. Like, I feel like that's sort of the very classic depiction. But it works really well in Kimi ni Todoke. Because the dad isn't like, not that you could do this in Japan, but like sitting there polishing his shotgun when the boyfriend comes over, like I couldn't see him doing that. Just mostly just like suspicious glares and what is this young man about? What is he trying to get from my daughter?
Yeah. Why now? Why are you here? How does she have all these friends suddenly? It's reasonable. It's like nothing in Kimi ni Todoke is groundbreaking, right? But I just think it's really, really good at distilling moments and like feelings in those moments, in the little moments that make up everyday life. Like the first time that Kazehaya and Sawako hold hands and they run into her mom afterwards, the lead up to them actually holding hands is like 17 pages of very, very minimum to no dialogue. And I'm like, this is a perfect moment. Like, you did it sort of deal. Amazing. Yeah. Oh, Kimi ni Todoke. But yeah, I just really hate Kazehaya's dad, and I don't know why his mom is there, and I guess I'm glad that Kazehaya maybe shields his little brother, but then I still feel bad for him. I don't know.
Yeah.
Poor Kazehaya.
Yeah.
He had four volumes where he sucked. But overall, he's good.
Well, like, in the grand scheme of things, Kazehaya is good. It just... there were some very serious missteps in these volumes.
Just don't read volumes like 15 to 18. Like, you don't need those.
or do read them, but also think like, it's going to get better.
Yeah.
Maybe don't pay money for them. Like, check them out of your library.
Yeah. Don't add them to your collection. Just be like, those are the dark volumes that we don't speak of. Yeah. Everything else is blissful and great, but those ones, no. Just keep those over there. Thematic-wise, I was also really struck I was really, really struck by Kento Boy, being like, at one point he said something like, I've never had trouble getting anybody that I've liked to, you know, reciprocate my, like me back or whatever. But then he describes with Ayane as like, he's like, so this is really strange. Like, I've never been in this situation before. But then he recontextualizes how he thought about it. And he says something like, or maybe it's that I've never tried to reach out so far to someone so far away. And I'm like, ooh, deep Kento. I love it. Which, you know, this whole manga is about like the distance between you and somebody else. And with Sawako and Kazehaya, it becomes a lot about like they're so close that every like little minuscule bit of distance change like sets them into this tailspin sort of right. deal where they're like, what are we doing? Everything's changed now. And you're like, okay, calm down, y'all. So it's really nice to have Kento be like, we are like so far apart. Like, let's just, there's so much more. It's easier to close larger gaps of distance and stuff. But at the same time, we are going to end. Sorry, spoilers. But like, Kento and Ayane don't work out. It's so sad. But like, I get it. Yeah. It's sad, but also like probably really good. Again, Ayane is probably the most like actual rounded depiction of how things should go. Like, you probably shouldn't stay with the person yeah. that you first loved forever, especially when you were childhood friends. Like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, no, like I've said before, shoujo really romanticizes like staying with your high school sweetheart forever, and that was not a healthy, and not just shoujo, a lot of stuff does, but that is not yeah. sort of a healthy sort of frame of mind to go into relationships with, your first relationship with. But yeah, like, I mean, the title Kimi ni Todoke, it means like reaching towards you, right? Like, that's sort of the whole overarching theme of the series, is like people closing the distance between each other. And I think that can make it kind of melodramatic.
Yeah,
I don't know, maybe like, because there's a lot of monologuing about stuff that's like I never really think about. I don't know, maybe it's a cultural thing.
No, like Kazehaya, definitely whenever we go into his perspective, I'm like, you are not a high school boy. Like, this is not at all what yeah. they're thinking. What are you talking
like they're, about? Whenever I see the monologuing, I don't even really think of it as like being in the character's voice. I think of it more as like Sheena sort of writing out like her own thoughts about like the distance between people.
Yeah,
or it's like, it's like, I don't know if you ever like read or wrote fanfic that was like introspection fic, that was sort of like what the character sort of conscious or unconscious frame of mind was at this particular moment. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with the introspection, but it's definitely like high school students are not that
they're not that deep.
No, I don't want to say they're deep. Like, I just don't think they're that like aware. Like, high school students are very interesting in that they are extremely self-aware but also not. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
like they're always like inner turmoil and thinking about stuff and like, you know, thinking deep thoughts, but they're also like wrong a yeah, lot of the time.
They're also wrong and don't, I think that it's, the problem is that they don't often extend it to other people.
Right, right. Yeah, they're yeah. very self-centered. No one else understands me.
Right.
Like, if there's any high school students listening to this, like, sorry.
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 We've all been there. It's
we've
fine.
All been there. Just, you know, it's a natural, normal stage.
Just remember that people probably do understand you. You just have to say it. And then people will be like, I feel that all the time, too. And then you have to be lonely. It's nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because Sheena definitely, as an adult, is, like, kind of projecting too many adult things onto stuff. But then I think that she's one of the few shoujo manga authors or, you know, manga authors who talks about in the sidebar having a young child and all these things. So I'm like, clearly she is, you know, older, and I think that gives her a good perspective to write the scenes that are more like Sawako's friends coming over, hanging out with their parents, mm-hmm. and having the parents more involved in the manga generally. Yeah. And like, it comes with good
sort
and bad.
Her parental feelings.
Yeah.
Onto the characters.
Yeah. So, you know, it comes with good, comes with bad. It's good. Overall, it's good. Just, again, burn the four or five of the middle volumes. Yeah. I just wanted to get into more silly things as we round out here. I had some favorite lines that I really liked that I, like, lolled at or, like, I relate so much. I really liked after the first date that Kazehaya and Sawako have, and then Sawako is trying to describe what they did to Ayane and Shizu. She's just like, we planeted, all gifted, bentoed. And I was like, this is hilarious.
Oh, Sawako.
They're like, planeted? What does planeted mean? Like, what are you talking about, Sawako? Oh, yeah, because the conflict of the first date was that she had, like, missed Kazehaya's birthday, and she had all that drama with the first Valentine's Day. She wasn't able mm-hmm. to give him chocolate, so she's like, I have to make up for it and give him a gift and whatever.
Mm-hmm. I feel like planetariums are a very classic shoujo manga first date.
Yeah, I was like, is this a normal thing that the children's in Japan do? Is that, like, what?
Now it's like, I want to go to a planetarium on a date.
I was like, that's not a thing I've ever done. Damn, am I doing it wrong? Probably, but it was good. You know, they ate homemade bentos and went to a planetarium, and Sawako gave him a present. Yay! I want to redeem Kazehaya a little bit. I think this is a good line. So I guess also on the first date, Sawako is like, I don't know how to be your girlfriend. And Kazehaya says, it's not a role. It's not a job. Just be yourself. And I was like, thank you, Kazehaya.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sweet boy Kazehaya right there.
Yeah, there's our boy.
There's the Kazehaya we all, like, know and love.
It's like, I'm dating you because I like you. So you just need to be you.
Yes. And I was like, thank you, sweet high school boy. I don't think any of you would say that, but thank you anyway.
Yeah. I don't 100% agree with him, because there are definitely parts of playing the role mm-hmm. of being a partner. But I mean, Sawako is, that all seems to sort of come to her naturally anyway.
Yeah, her natural state is like caretaker, so
he's the one who fails to beat that role.
Kazehaya, get it together.
no, but I just think of, like, The Office when Pam and Roy, like, break up and then get back together, and, like, she's like, hey, do you want to do this thing? He's like, I don't know. And she's like, no, you have to be a boyfriend. You, like, we have to, like, do boyfriend things. You can't just, like, blow me off all the time anymore. So, like, that's sort of what I think of, like, yeah, like, sometimes you do have to, like, play a role, but that's just, like, being considerate of your, like, being particularly considerate of your partner in certain ways, like, taking care of each other.
Holding hands, Kazehaya.
Holding hands.
Get it together.
Get it together. But yeah, no, that was I did think that was sweet.
I also just loved when he was a sweet boy in one of his retrospective chapters where he's like, I'm the one who likes you more every time we meet. And I was like, oh, you're so cute.
Yeah.
Stop.
I really like that he liked her from the start in a not creepy way. Like, he just, like, he was attracted to her, like, her smile, and wanted to get to know her better and thought she was cute. And I really like that.
Yes.
So, yeah, no, like, Kazehaya is a good boy. He just has some, like, idiot.
He just had a brain fart for a little bit there.
For a few months.
For a few months.
I still think Sawako should have broken up with him in that time, because what the hell? He was emotionally neglectful.
Yeah. They should have separated. I mean, she essentially shocks him out of his system by being angry, which is also a great moment that I love.
It all just took too long.
It's true. It did take too long. But I did really love when Sawako and Kurumi. So we did get a question about how we feel about Kurumi, but I'm going to save that for the third one, since Kurumi has not yet reappeared. She basically bookends what we have read. Yes. In the beginning of these volumes, it ended her rivalry arc, which also I really loved when they walked past each other and then she's like, I'm glad you were my rival. I was like, this is such a shonen thing right now. Like, it's really great.
Oh, it's very shoujo too. Like, the rival to romantic rival turned to friend sort of thing. To frenemy.
I know, but it was really fun to think of it as like a really dramatic shonen moment for like a good second there. I was like, ooh, this is fun. Yes, but she will reappear more in the next part, but she does appear briefly at the very end here, has a brief chat with Sako, and she's like, what are you fools doing? Like, God, why are you making Kazehaya like unhappy? You didn't give him your Valentine's Day chocolates? Did you learn nothing from last year and all these things? And Sawako is like genuinely angry, and Karumi's like, huh, that's nice. Like, that's shocking. Like, oh, so it was a good moment. Not worth all the, you know, BS that y'all have been doing, but like,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if you want to take this quiz. I kind of do. I'm so curious.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go for it.
I want to do the love languages one. So, like, what character do we want to take this? Whose love languages do we want to know?
Ayane.
Oh, Ayane. That's a good one. Okay, let's do it. Okay, let me try to explain what love languages are to people. So there is this book. It's a very popular book. It's called The Five Love Languages. It's by Gary Chapman, I believe. So it is basically, I don't even remember what all the languages are, but it's like, do you respond better to like touch and whatever the four other ones are? We'll find out eventually. So, you know, it's just basically like, how should you speak to your romantic partner in a way that, you know, reaches them the most so that they understand that you like care for them and all those things. I've not actually read this book, but I know like a decent amount about it. So I was like, oh,
yeah.
Why have I not been using this quiz more? Because it's a pretty big deal. I'm serious. It's like a really big book. So we will take this as Ayane. There are 30 statements, I guess, that we are supposed to complete. And okay, I guess I can just read what the languages are. Like, words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch are the five love languages. So statement one is, it's more meaningful to me when, one, I receive a loving note, text, email for no special reason from my loved one, or my partner and I hug. Ooh, Ayane.
I want to say, like, I kind of want to say A, just that's what my instincts are saying, just because, like, she is used to, like, she has had physical relationships with people who, like, she didn't have that kind of emotional attachment to. But she has never had the kind of relationship. I think that would definitely sort of shake her more, is A.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. So two, it's more meaningful to me when I can spend time alone with my partner, just the two of us, or my partner does something practical to help me out. I want to go with the second one. My partner does something practical to help me out. Because, again, I just feel like she's been in such garbage relationships where, mm-hmm. like...
Well, like when Kento punched Mogi in the face.
Yeah.
That was a practical thing to help her out, right?
It really did. And then they got to spend time alone. See, the second one just leads to the first one. Mm-hmm. So we'll go with D. They are lettered by the... love languages, which yes. We'll get back to. But yes, so I'm keeping track of these things. So three, it's more meaningful to me when one, my partner gives me a little gift as a token of our love for each other, or I get to spend uninterrupted reading is such a challenge. I get to spend uninterrupted leisure time with my partner. She was pretty into those roses from Kento.
Yeah. All right, yeah, we'll go with C.
See, Ayane, we're going to fix your love problems. Okay, four. It's more meaningful to me when my partner unexpectedly does something for me, like filling my car or doing the laundry, or my partner and I touch.
Here, I kind of want to say E, just because, like, she's so, like, pragmatic in general. I feel like she would be the one who's, like, the kind who's, like, no, you're doing it wrong.
You're right. Yeah. You didn't wash my clothes correctly. Like, fool.
You washed my dress in hot water and now it shrank and now it doesn't fit over my boobs.
Yeah. Okay, I agree. E. When they touch. Because it's like, you know, I think she does like touching. That's obvious. It's mm-hmm. just that she goes out with garbage men. That's the problem. Yeah. So five is more meaningful to me when my partner puts her arm around me when we're in public, or my partner surprises me with a gift. I don't know. I would go with public displays of affection. I think Ayane is into public displays of affection.
Like, you know, mild ones. Like,
yeah, not like making out like with Mogi, but you know.
Oh, that would be very, you know, very rude.
Rude. I don't know. Yeah, I think she enjoys, you know, people knowing when she's in a relationship. I'm gonna go with E. Okay, so 6 is more meaningful when I'm around my partner, even if we're not really doing anything, or I hold hands with my partner.
Ooh. This one's a hard one. That's because, hard. Like, we don't really get to see her having a lot of alone time with a partner. Well, like, with a partner she cares about.
Yeah, with a non-garbage partner. With Kento, basically. Yeah. We have not seen that yet. I want to say that she would enjoy not doing anything, but just being around them, though.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go with that. We're going to see how this shakes out for Ayane. 7 is more meaningful when my partner gives me a gift, or I hear I love you from my partner. Ooh, this is getting hardcore now.
I want to say A, I hear I love you.
I just keep thinking of the manga, say I love you now. Damn it.
I heard that was bad.
I only watched the anime, and it was like, okay. Okay. It's not Kimi ni Todoke, I can tell you that. Yeah, all right, we can go with that. Because my only hesitancy with that is that I think Ayane is, you know, scared of deep things.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's sort of, you know, I think, well, that's what makes it meaningful, right? Is it, oh, it scares her.
Yeah. Ooh, deep. Okay. It's more meaningful to me when I sit close to my partner. Or I don't know how to say words anymore. I am complimented by my loved one for no apparent reason. That one, right? A.
Yeah, A.
Complimented for no reason. That's always fun. I don't know why anybody would pick otherwise. It's more meaningful to me when I get the chance to just hang out with my partner. Or C, I unexpectedly get small gifts from my partner. I don't know. Mm. See, I don't know why I keep wanting, I guess it's the Ayane seems like she wants to be more in control of her appearance, even though she clearly likes things, but she would, again, she would just be like, you're doing this wrong. This gift sucks.
Points for trying, but no.
Yeah. So I feel like hanging out is the better.
Yeah.
So it's more meaningful when I hear my partner tell me, I'm proud of you, or D, my partner helps me with a task. No, A, right?
A. Yeah,
100%.
A.
Easy peasy. It's more meaningful to me when B, I get to do things with my partner, or A, I hear supportive words from my partner.
I want to say B, just because, like, I mean, I said I love you earlier, but also, like, words are only so much. Like, I think Ayane needs to see that the person enjoys spending time with her.
Yeah, like her hanging out with Chizu and Sawako is the only thing that convinces her that they she would start to doubt, even though they mm-hmm. do affirm it in both ways very frequently.
Yeah.
Fair enough. It's more meaningful to me when my partner is this D, my partner does things for me instead of just talking about doing nice things. Or E, I feel connected to my partner through a hug. First one just seems mean. Right? Like, it's like, for once, they did a thing. Like, instead,
I don't know. It's kind of a relatable feel sometimes.
True.
I mean, for everyone, I'm definitely, like, you know, guilty of that, too.
Yeah. I don't know. Ayane and Kento had that good hug, though. Maybe I want to go with E. You know what, YOLO, Ayane, you're going with E for now.
That's right.
It's more meaningful to me when A, I hear praise from my partner, or C, my partner gives me something that shows he, she was really thinking about me.
Oh, definitely C.
Yeah. Ayane's over this praise stuff. She needs something else at this point. It's more meaningful to me when B, I'm able to just be around my partner, or E, I get a back rub or massage from my partner. Ooh. Escalation. No, I still think she would say the back rub is wrong and hate it.
Yeah, I think B. Like, just spending time together is more, like, because, like, it is, like, enjoying each other's company instead of just being in it for the physical relationship.
Yeah, which she definitely needs assurance about right at this moment. So it's more meaningful to me when A, my partner reacts positively to something I've accomplished, or D, my partner does something for me then I know they don't particularly enjoy.
I think A.
A.
Just because, I mean, because like also future developments, people who are more invested in encouraging Ayane are the people who she tends to be attracted to. Like, you know, the people who are like, no, you are capable of more. You're smart and you're, you know, perceptive. So like, and she responds to that for sure.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Can't wait for next podcast when we get to talk about that finally. Oh boy. All right. It's more meaningful to me when E, my partner and I kiss frequently, or B, I sense my partner is showing interest in the things I care about. B, right?
Definitely B.
17. It's more meaningful to me when my partner works, or this is D. D, my partner works on special projects with me that I have to complete. Or C, my partner gives me an exciting gift. What's a special project? What does this mean in regular terms?
Well, like, I guess if Jared and I worked together to build a Gunpla, that would be a special project.
Nice. What would Ayane do, though? I don't know. I'm leaning towards C.
I want to say C just because, like I said, Ayane like always wants to do things herself.
Yeah. It's more meaningful to me when A, I'm complimented by my partner on my appearance, or B, my partner takes the time to listen to me and really understands my feelings.
Definitely B.
B? I don't know. A seemed possible. She like, you know, does like her appearance, but yeah, okay.
But she's also, I think she's used to, like, she takes pride in her appearance, but she's also used to, like, guys judging her on her appearance.
Fair enough. So 19 is, it's more meaningful when E, my partner and I share non-sexual touch in public, or D, my partner offers to run errands for me. E.
She doesn't want anyone running errands for her. She takes care of that all herself.
Mess it up. It's more meaningful
when... They're going to get the wrong brand.
Yeah. So it's more meaningful to me when D, my partner does a bit more than his, her normal share of the responsibilities we share around the house, work-related, etc. Or C, I get a gift that I know my partner put thought into choosing. No, C.
Yeah, C.
It's more meaningful to me when B, my partner doesn't check his, her phone while we're talking. Oh, such a pet peeve. Okay, D, my partner goes out of their way to do something that relieves pressure on me. B.
Yeah, B.
I feel like B should be what everybody picks, but that's... I want to project on everybody, but it's more meaningful to me when C, I can look forward to a holiday because of a gift I anticipate receiving. A, I hear the words "I appreciate you" from my partner. A.
Yeah, you want to say A? Okay.
I want to say A. I don't lean strongly one way or the other, though.
Yeah.
So it's more meaningful to me when C, my partner brings me a little gift after he/she has been traveling without me. Or D, my partner takes care of something I'm responsible to do, but I feel too stressed to do at the time. No. C.
C.
Ayane's got everything together. She's fine. It's more meaningful to me when B, my partner doesn't interrupt me while I'm talking. Of course. Jesus, so negative. C, gift giving is an important part of our relationship. No, B. B all the way.
Yeah.
It's more meaningful to me when D, my partner helps me out when he/she knows I'm already tired. Or B, I get to go somewhere while spending time with my partner. B.
B. I think we're starting to see a real pattern of Mary.
Yeah, now we're figuring out her love language. But it's more meaningful to me when E, my partner and I are physically intimate. Or C, my partner gives me a little gift that he/she picked up on the course of a normal day. No, E. And he doesn't give a crap about gifts. That's basically what we're saying. That's not her love language. It's more meaningful to me when A, my partner says something encouraging to me, or B, I get to spend time in a shared activity or hobby with my partner. Hobby.
Definitely A.
A.
A. I feel like Ayane is the kind of person who doesn't really care about having too many shared interests with her partner.
Yeah, and we see that she's had this fraught relationship. She describes at some point how she used to play, was it volleyball or something? And then she quit because there were all these girls. And now it's like all these, it's weird because all these high school students that we've been following, none of them are in clubs except Ryu, I guess, because he plays baseball. Yeah.
So very serious about baseball.
He's very serious about baseball, and all the others are like lackadaisical about nothing. So there's that.
They're in the going home club.
Yeah, the go home.
They're in the get Sawako and Kazehaya together club.
Yeah, that definitely was a club for a while there. First year, that was the only club. Yep. So 28, it's more meaningful to me when C, my partner surprises me with a small token of their appreciation, or E, my partner and I touch a lot during the normal course of a day. E. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like casual intimate touch.
Keeping it cash.
No, yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Not sexy times.
Yeah, just like, you know, leaning against each other.
Not walking with 2 feet between them, like Kazehaya and Sawako. It's more meaningful to me when D, my partner helps me out, especially if I know they're already busy, or A, I hear my partner specifically tell me I appreciate you.
A.
Last one, it's more meaningful to me when E, my partner and I embrace after we've been apart for a while, or A, I hear my partner say how much I appreciate, how much I mean to him, her. I'm just making up words now. E, it's definitely E. Okay, now I have to do, like, math.
Oh, no.
Fun. Okay, so the primary love language of Ayane is quality time. Ayane loves some quality time. But also, she really does like some words of affirmation. That's second. She definitely does not like acts of service. Screw that crap. Physical touch and receiving gifts are also, like, pretty good. And if you want to know what your love language is so you can, you know, make your partners, you know, love you in the right ways, you should go figure that out. But yeah, so this has been an episode, Caitlin. I am all really right. Excited for the next episode because we finally get to talk about things.
Some stuff that was weighing very heavily on us.
Yeah, it's really hurting.
As the volumes came out.
I know. It's really hard because I want to say how well it's seated, but then it gives away what it is. And so,
yeah, no, like, listen. We'll get there soon.
It's going to be epic. It's going to be, we're going to have an epic shipping corner too, you know, who.
Oh, God.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Just like half the episode.
It's going to be great. Okay. But until then, everybody, thanks for listening to this episode of Show, Don't Tell. If you have any comments or questions or concerns or you just want to say something random, I don't know, you can email showdontell@gmail.com or leave a comment on showdontell.com/kiminitodake2. We're also at Show, Don't Tell on Twitter, Instagram, I don't even remember, Tumblr. There is a Facebook, but that's who does Facebook anymore. I don't know. Caitlin, where can people find you and your work on the internet?
Oh, you know, around.
I just search for your name.
I'm on Twitter. No, don't just search my name because my name is so common. I'm on Twitter as altsoon_nodere. I am a writer and editor for Anime Feminist. I review anime for the Daily Dot. I have my own blog that I have been neglecting terribly for months.
Oh, yes, Caitlin, I missed your blog. What's up?
I have a heroin problem. I haven't had time. And I am now very considering doing just like a King of the Hill watch-along guide.
Okay.
So keep an eye out for that if you're interested. Yeah.
You're right. You can't just search your name on the internet. You have to search Caitlin Moore, but like with anime or manga. Then I'm sure that will narrow down the results.
Maybe.
We'll find out. So are you excited every time you see a new episode from us? If so, please leave a rating in iTunes or Stitcher. This will help the podcast reach more hearts, or at least ears. Thanks again for listening. Again, we'll be back next time for the end of Kimi ni Todoke, which is another 10 volumes. It is volumes 21 through 30. Volume 30 still has not come out as of the time of this recording, so we, like, don't definitively know how it ends. It's a mystery. It's also, like, kind of the end of an era. Like, when I went to Japan last year, when it ended in Japan around that time, they were doing, like, a special exhibition in Tokyo for it that I went to and bought some merch from, which I might give away, but, you know, it is the holidays, and I have some complicated life things, so I might have to do that later. But anyway, yes, we will. It's the end of a shoujo era, and we will cover that next time. And we definitely have a lot of feelings about things from there. So until then, Bye.
Bye.
Mama